Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk. We got another day in Indianapolis, and we got another long interview for you guys to listen to. I hope you, as our listeners, enjoy this, because I think it's important to get the full context of what the coach says. So much like we did with Doug Williams, we're going to give you the full audio from Jay Gruden's media session from the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. This is good access for you guys, and also you get to decipher exactly what Jay's saying, because, you know, I'll tweet out a quote, there's stories about what Jay's saying, but you get to hear the whole conversation, and to me, there's value. In the room, we're all the same characters from yesterday. I told you all their names. You guys know all their names. Biggest takeaways, Gruden is ready to move on from Kirk Cousins. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore. He doesn't want to hear about it anymore. I don't blame him. I think he is excited about Alex Smith. Couldn't really talk about it, but I feel comfortable saying that Jay is excited to have Alex Smith run his offense and believes they can really do well. I know that Jay Gruden has been a fan of Alex Smith throughout his career, both just in that he's been a winner, especially since he's been in Kansas City, and he's a smart player. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And I think the concerns about him going downfield, I don't think it'll really prove to be as much of an issue. Another nugget you're going to hear in this conversation is about Sua Cravens. And I know that Jay Gruden says, hey, we're not trading Sua Cravens. I still think Sua Cravens won't be with this team in 2018. I just don't see how it all works out. Maybe it will, and I'm wrong. I've been told by a number of people involved that is the case, but things always change. Things always change in the NFL. I still expect Sua to be elsewhere, but it sure sounds like Jay would welcome him back. But Gruden sounded a little bit like a parent talking about Sua Cravens, in that he acknowledged that he's young, you know, maybe made some mistakes, but he's a good person, and you just try to move forward. And I would echo that. Sua is a good guy. I know him somewhat, and he's a good person that means well in the world, and there's not enough people like that out there. What have I been doing in Indianapolis? Before we get to Jay Gruden, it's been fun out here. I went to St. Elmo's Steakhouse last night, which is really famous out here. They have the world's hottest cocktail sauce. I'm not really sure why or how it's so hot. If anybody knows the answer to this, to me, horseradish is a root, and horseradish is horseradish. I don't know how you get it hotter, but damn if they don't get it super hot. I had a coughing fit at one point and almost started crying. Been fun catching up with a lot of people, talking to coaches, talking to a ton of scouts, other media people. It's been a good couple days. These days are long, man. You start in the morning and you just go all day. I got to watch people bench press today, which I never thought I would do, and I actually enjoyed it. It was fairly exhilarating. If you remember, local celebrity Mitch Tischler talked about wanting to see Will Hernandez, and maybe he makes sense for the Redskins. He's an offensive lineman from UTEP that would probably be a guard in the NFL. I was there for Will Hernandez. Did 225 pounds 37 times on the bench press. It was incredible, man. Right in front of me was Houston Texans coach Bill O'Brien, and he and his one of his offensive coaches were sitting there, and I was sitting there with Hoffman, and we were just like, damn. And it was remarkable, dude. That was a pretty cool, unexpected moment. Just to see somebody go off like that. We don't get to watch the speed. I'm a speed guy. I think you guys know that. I would love to watch some of the burners run, but I watch that on TV just like you. One thing that's really dumb is when you're watching the kids bench press, they have this army of narcs that don't let you take pictures or videos on your phone or anything. Meanwhile, they're televising the whole thing. So why I can't tweet out a picture, I'll never understand, but the rules are the rules. All right, enough babbling from me. Folks, I don't know where we are in the reviews, but we need the reviews. I want to announce the podcast party next week. We've got some hardcore P1 podcast listeners that are going to make the trip. I know my guy Bailey Fink is going to make the trip from New York City. I want to get him and others like him the date so we can rage. Here's a little tease. The location is going to be downtown DC, right next to Capital One Arena. So there's a little tease for you. Make sure the reviews are there, and we'll announce on the pod next week. We'll do a combine wrap-up, all sorts of good stuff. Here comes Jay Gruden.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Yes, there's not much you can say yet about the Kansas City quarterback. But with Kirk, you guys are clearly moving on from him. What was the decision behind that for you and you to go in a different direction?
I think we played this tag game for a couple of years now, it seems like, and I think it's time to get some stability at our position, at the most important position in sports, and that's quarterback. And it's very important for us to move forward and let Kirk move on. If Washington's not a place he wanted to be, it's time for us to move on, get some continuity there at quarterback.
What is that? Because you've had the stability for 3 years with him, so what does it mean to know the guy that you ultimately will have a longer-term deal? What does that mean for a coach?
Well, it means a lot, not just for me, but it means a lot for the team and for the organization, you know, knowing where we are and who we're going to prepare with for the next coming years, 3-4 years. So it's an important process for us to have the quarterback in a position where he can grow with the football team. We can grow with them and move on.
Speaking of that growth, how hard is it for you to – you and Kirk kind of did a lot of this together. How hard is it going to be for you to go see him elsewhere?
Yeah, it's pro football. You know, nothing's etched in stone anyway. You know, this trade is not official yet. All this stuff is still in the works. But to see Kirk go somewhere else will be, I'm sure, a great opportunity for him. And I'm happy for him and his family that he's going to get an opportunity that he feels like he deserves. And I'll root for him, except when they play the Redskins.
What kind of changes do you anticipate, regardless of who's at that position?
You know, once everything becomes official, we'll move forward and get with the quarterback. And we have Colt McCoy in-house, which is good. We feel good about his skill set, very similar, to Kirk, I think. And he can move around, so we feel good about Kirk or Colt moving forward. So whoever we get with him, we'll work with him and study his tape and figure out a skill set that he's comfortable with that we can implement with our offense.
You said you guys felt like Kirk didn't, you know, that Washington wasn't a place where he was wanted. Is that a conversation you guys had after the season, or is it just kind of the way things have played out where you reached a point and said, we need to do something that's more definitive?
Yeah, I can't speak for Kirk and his reasons for not signing a long-term deal or what have you. It's a mutual deal, and at the end of the day, it's a business deal. He wants to do his best for his family, and we're trying to do his best for our organization, our football team, and it just didn't work out. Reasons are, I'm sure there's a handful on his side and there's a handful on our side, but at the end of the day, it's time to move on, and we will.
How different does this offseason feel, having stability at that position?
Well, it's going to be a little different. I think even though the situation was what it was the last year or two with the tags and all that stuff, we still felt good about the quarterback position moving forward. We still had hopes of getting something done, but every year, you know, you're going to have your own installs. You're going to have your own set of game plans for the quarterback that you have, and you're going to have to adjust regardless of your game plan and personnel. So that's something we intend to do.
How important is it in your offense for a quarterback? You talked about it this past season about keeping your eyes downfield, being able to make big plays off schedule. If you get a quarterback that has that type of skill set, what can that do for you offensively?
Well, it's very important. I mean, there's a lot of plays in pro football that aren't going to go as planned, and it's up to the quarterback, the guy with the ball in his hand, to make something happen occasionally, and sometimes it's just throw it away and live to fight another day and punt or what have you. So the decisions that the quarterback has to make on every given play in every situation are critical to the success of the football team, and hopefully we'll get a guy in here who's consistently made good, sound decisions in those situations year in, year out for a very long time.
How do you maximize that position, and by, I guess, adjusting, what are you trying to put around that guy, whoever that guy eventually is?
Yeah, I think, well, the good thing is we have a very – I'm a big, firm believer in an offensive line play. And we obviously got blown up last year with the injuries. But I think if everybody's healthy, we have a very good offensive line with Trent and Morgan and Ty and Secchi at tackle and T.J. Clemmings and at guard. You know, we got to address the left guard, but Ari came in and did some good things. And obviously Brandon Sheriff, and I feel really good about Chase Rullier's performance there. I think we need to add a few ingredients there on the offensive line, but that's going to be the strength of our football team. Get Jordan Reed back at tight end is going to be critical to our success also. Receiving core, you know, losing Ryan Grant, or if we do lose Ryan Grant, if we don't get him back, we'll have to address that position. And then running back, we have to have stability at running back. We got to get Chris Thompson back healthy. And then we obviously have to get some running backs in here that can play 16 games somehow. But we feel good about the depth with Byron Marshall coming in here late and Capri Bibbs doing what he did. You know, with Rob Kelly coming back off his injury, Samaje Perine getting quality reps. We got some backs in-house that we feel good about, but we might have to add another piece to come in here and compete for that job.
And what would you, because Doug brought that up too, and this is obviously a good draft for it. So what are you looking for more out of that position?
That's a good question, because we feel good about the ability for, we have two or three backs now that can be your third down type guy with Capri and Byron and obviously Chris. You know, I think first, second down banger, we have Samaje and Rob Kelly, but maybe another one in here to compete in that role for second down, and maybe an all-purpose guy would be nice, a little returner. I don't know. There's a lot of options, but whoever it is, we intend on giving him a great opportunity to compete for a lot of carries.
You saw the running back class last year kind of have a really big impact in year one. Is that position kind of changing at all? I mean, a couple of years ago, there was talk of whether it was even worth taking a running back high, and now you see Kamara and stuff. Is it, are teams just using running backs differently nowadays, or how do you kind of see the evolution of that position?
It depends on who the back is. You know, there's a lot of backs like Kamara who's going to get a lot of touches, not just carries, but touches out of the backfield as far as a receiver goes. And very similar, we use Chris Thompson. So that's a very valuable position that people maybe undervalue. Then the other side of it is the first, second down back that, like Leonard Fournette, you can give the ball to and control the clock and tempo and close games out in four-minute drills and all that stuff and make big plays that way. So it's never really been an undervalued position. It's just there's a lot of backs that a lot of people feel like can do similar type things. But, you know, with Zeke Elliott doing what he did at Dallas and Fournette doing what he did in Kamara, I think there's just a heightened awareness on, hey, these guys can come in and help right away. So maybe they'll go a little bit higher now.
You talk about skill sets necessary. What do you want in terms of a receiver opposite of Josh? Is more of a speed guy, is it more a possession guy? What kind of starter would you like to see opposite of Doxson?
Yeah, well, right now Crowder would be that guy, and I feel good about where Crowder is. And if we get Ryan Grant back, I'm great there. But I think probably there's consensus that we probably need a little bit more juice, maybe a little bit more speed to take the top off from time to time. You know, losing Deshaun last year had a little bit of an impact, but not as much as people probably want to think. But maybe that. But I like all-purpose guys. I like guys that can do multiple things because at the end of the day, you're going to have to play multiple positions in this offense to have a chance. You're going to have to block safeties from time to time. You're not just going to be able to run deep every single play. So I like all-purpose guys that can do a little bit of everything.
How do you feel like your depth is at corner if you guys lose someone?
You know, our depth is it's not terrible. You know, I think with Dunbar coming back in year three, I think he's going to be a lot more confident and comfortable. I think Fabian in year two will be more confident and comfortable and healthy. And obviously Josh Norman's here, and Holsey is going to get some great looks at nickel. So, you know, there's four guys right there we feel good about. We are going to have to add some more corners, without a doubt, to come into training camp.
You anticipate Holsey at nickel or Moreau? Can he play inside?
Yeah, Moreau got some work inside there. I think I can anticipate both of them competing. I'd like to keep Moreau outside for time being because I think that's where his strength is. But if we have to put him in there and get some work in OTAs, we'll do that, take a look at him there. But he's got a great skill set to whatever you want him to do. You know, he's physical and can run really, really fast. So I'm excited to see him with more opportunity and more reps.
Jay, you mentioned Jordan Reed earlier. Obviously, last year is another year. Injuries get the best of him, and I'm sure it was frustrating as the year progressed that he wasn't out there. In terms of planning for this year, how much do you, as important as he is, how much do you plan on thinking he's our centerpiece, or do you have to kind of, we have to build up around him? We can't really assume that he's going to be there for 16 games.
Yeah, well, I'm going to assume he's going to be there. I really am. That's the way we're going to plan, but we always have a plan B just in case. You know, there's a lot of things that Jordan can do that not a lot of people can do that you're going to have in each game plan in your installation. If he's not available to us, then we have other ways we can attack a defense. But we have 10 to 20 plays a game at least that are just for Jordan, you know, to get him to rock. And we anticipate him being fully healthy. If something does happen, knock on wood, which I don't think it will, we'll adjust like we have every year.
Be good to get another quarterback who makes big plays to tight ends, huh?
Yeah, John, it would be. We're going to work on that.
having reviewed the season, it's been a while since we seen you. Just what are kind of your overall impressions of, I mean, balancing the injuries, the like now that you've had more time to digest it?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really black and white. I mean, what's your record? 7-9. What was your record in your division? 1-5. And no way, shape, or form was that even close to being good enough. There were some positives to draw out of that. We got to look at some guys. We handled some adverse situations pretty well. But at the end of the day, we're 1-5 in a division and 7-9. So, from a coaching staff standpoint, we have to look at that and figure out ways in which we can get better, helping our players succeed. And then going from there, we have to look at our roster and figure out where's the most important places we need to improve and try to figure out ways to do that.
Jay, the run defense last year after week five when Jonathan Allen went down, the numbers went down. How much of is that reflection of what he was doing, and also how much what do you think you need to do now to shore that area up this year?
Yeah, no question. That hurt us. And Mason Foster was another big piece people forget about. But we lost Mason to the shoulder, and he's a great run defender also. So those two guys hurt us. And then obviously Matt Ioannidis with his hand, he missed a couple weeks and then tried to play with the club, and he wasn't as effective. There's a lot of reasons for the downfall of the run. But at the end of the day, we have guys that should be able to step in here and play the run better. Safeties, linebackers, corners might have to crack replace and make tackles, which we didn't do a great job of from time to time. So it's not just on Jonathan Allen's position, it's on the entire defense to stop the run. And Greg Minuski's well aware of that. He's been told many, many times by many, many people that we have to get better stop and run. Having Jonathan Allen back will be a huge plus for us. Add another piece in there will be very beneficial. Obviously, we have to address the middle linebacker position with Zach Brown being a free agent, Will Compton being a free agent, but we'll get that done.
You said last year wasn't good enough, but going into year five, overall, how do you feel about the state of the program?
I feel good about it. I feel good that we have a core group of veteran guys that I feel good about going in any Sunday with and competing with. And I feel like we have a chance to win anytime we step on the field with those guys. And I feel like they're setting a great tone for the younger guys coming in here as far as work ethic and how to prepare. So at the end of the day, that's really what you're looking for. And obviously, from a production standpoint, we just got to do a better job situational football and finishing games off when we have a chance. And having to come back if we have to, two-minute and all that stuff, two-minute defense, two-minute offense. A lot of areas of improvement we have to do, but I feel good about the core nucleus of our group. Getting them healthy is another thing. And then going out and competing next year with some added pieces and free agency in the draft.
How do you feel about your safety depth right now? Obviously, Sua is floating out there. There was a report yesterday you guys might be looking to trade him. And then Monte battled the injuries last year. So where are you at with that position?
Well, I think with Monte, I think, is really a important piece. You know, very similar to the way Jordan Reed is on defense. I think Monte, or on offense, Monte is on defense. He can cover so much ground. He makes all the defensive backs a little bit more comfortable and take a little bit more chances because he's back there, you know, Roman. So we need him back there. I got to get him healthy with his shoulders and obviously the other issues that he's had. DJ, I think, you know, when we have a defined role for him, I think he'll be much better, much more comfortable. But having to play free, strong, make all the calls, I think we put a little bit too much on his plate. Not that he couldn't handle it, but I'd like to try to identify his role a little bit more clear this year instead of having to move around. But and then Everett got some key snaps in here, and but we do need another piece.
Would it be hard to bring Sua back?
Would it be hard to? I don't know if it'd be hard. You know, that's, you know, he had personal matters he had to tend to last year and chose to tend to him. And what can you say about that? You know, I think a lot of people were disappointed in that because we spent a lot of time with him in OTAs and training camp. We got a purpose for him and a role for him in certain packages and wasted some time and practicing those and repping those. But at the end of the day, it's about the player and the individual, and he's got to have a right state of mind in order to play pro football, and hopefully he does now.
Would you talk, if you guys don't trade him, would you want to talk to him before you do anything, or are you, you know, if before you make a move with him, or if he does come back?
No, we're going to trade him. From what I know, I just saw that on a ticker. I think he's still a member of this football team, and we have every intention of seeing where he's at. And I can't, you know, I'll have to talk to him and see where he's at mentally and physically. I know he's going to be in great shape, but the big thing is this something that he wants to do? And he has to commit to it full time. But he's a good football player, there's no doubt about it. He's a great kid, and I'm sure it'll work out for him.
When can you talk to him?
Locker room with guys to be accepted in the locker room?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's a young kid. He's 21 years old, for goodness sakes, you know, and made a decision that he thought was right for him and his family. And at the end of the day, nobody really can put them in his shoes. He had to do that for himself and make that decision himself. And people make decisions, and we can, we're not the judge and jury. It's up to him to come back, and I think guys will accept him back.
When can you talk to him?
I don't know. Probably when I get back, I guess. We'll see.
So that trade report took you by surprise?
Yeah, I saw that on the ticker. Yeah. I learn a lot on the ticker nowadays.
Is Monte still lingering with concussion symptoms?
No, I think Monte's good. I talked to him the other day. He's in great shape. Shoulders are good, and he feels great. But, yeah, we're excited to see him back in action.
Anything else? When you've been to this combine many times, what – are some of the things that you enjoy asking prospects when you get in the room with them one-on-one?
I enjoy it. You know, you look at the schedule, you're like, oh my God, I got 20 in a row from 6 to 11. That's 5 hours straight. You know, you're thinking about it. But once the guys come in, everybody's so unique and different. It's fun to get a hold of them and talk to them and ask them questions, how they prepare, how they recover. Then you show the game tape and what they're thinking on each certain plays, their footwork, their fundamentals, what they're taught, what motivates them. You try to get as much as you can in that 15 minutes, and it's fun. Guys are great guys. They're hungry. They all want to win and succeed, and it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out.
Is there something that sticks with you specifically? Doug mentioned he likes really getting recall and seeing if guys can remember plays off the bat. Is there anything that you specifically look for?
Not really. You know, I think personality-wise, I like to see just what makes them tick a little bit if I can in 15 minutes. I try to challenge them with certain things when we're watching tape or what have you, and just see what their football IQ is. And it's hard to tell in 15 minutes, really. But you try to get a feel for how much they are passionate about the game. And then if you can really depend on them, you know, on and off the field. And it's almost impossible in 15 minutes, but you'll be surprised. You can learn a lot more than what you think in 15 minutes.
Is there a player that you recall like that where you've kind of quote-unquote stood on the table for more than others who just really panned out? Is there anybody that jumps to
I
mind?
I may have interviewed so many guys in a while. You know, I just, you know, I don't really have one in particular. I've enjoyed quite a few of them. So, yeah. I'll say all the guys that we drafted. How's that? Rand Sheriff was great, man. I love James Crowder's interview. Like that, I can't remember if we even – yeah.
Well, speaking of Scherff, you mentioned offensive line earlier, how important that is. Obviously, you've got a couple guys who are free agents. Where do kind of things stand with that? And if they don't come back, what do you think you have? Do you think you have enough in place to go if needed?
Offensive line? Yeah, I think we feel, you know, unfortunately we had all the injuries that we had, but fortunately we got a lot of people some work, you know, so we're going to have to address a few of the positions. Obviously left guard, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see where we are with Sean Laval, but like I said, we had Ari Quanjo get some time in there and Bergstrom get some time in there and Chase Rullier could probably play left guard if need be. So we have a few positions of need that we have to address. And then the tackle position, we just have to get those guys healthy. I think they will be, for the most part, by training camp. Ty will probably be ready for OTAs. But TJ, Morgan, and Trent are the key pieces. We got to get them right.
Do you feel like that's a kind of a weird spot for a team to be in, where you feel like you have depth in a lot of places because of what happened last year, but you might need top-end talent at a lot of those where you're looking to kind of top off the position?
It really is, you know, and you feel good about the guys you have on your team, but you're not quite sure, you know, when they're, you know, so. But we'll make the right decisions, I'm sure, on draft day and free agency, and hopefully in free agency we address a few of the positions, and then we can go attack the best player come draft time.
Do you guys have the quarterback position addressed at maybe a better price point, perhaps, than it has been in the last few years? Does that open you guys up a little more for free agency?
Well, good. If everything works out the way it should work out, I think it should open the door for us to be quite aggressive if need be.
Do you see adding maybe a third quarterback, younger, kind of like a Sudfeld type?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. You know, I think last year, unfortunately, we didn't have the ability to carry three. You know, with all the injuries that we had and all the guys that were inactive that were hurt, we didn't have the ability to carry three. So if we have that ability, we could maybe add one later in a draft or a free agent type guy to come in and compete.